Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. This is Sheila Crawford, your Bible teacher and studier of our Jewish roots.
And this is John Bartlett, your co-host of the program, and we both want to say
Shabbat Shalom. On this most sacred holy day called Yom Kippur,
or Day of Atonement,
which this program will explain to you in detail tonight.
Yes, it will. And because Yom Kippur began today at sundown,
John and myself wanted to devote this evening in our own personal way, so tonight's program is pre-recorded.
Let me suggest that you take some notes, for you will gain much exciting knowledge about this very serious sixth appointment of God.
And you can read about it in Leviticus 23, verse 27. But here's what I really love about this special day. As you know, John, the prophetic, typological, future day that Yom Kippur represents.
Oh, you mean that Jesus will yet fulfill?
Yes, and tonight's program will enlighten our listeners as to how. So we pray you'll be blessed as we petition God to give those who give their ears on Tuesday nights to this program a special and deeper desire to grow in Him.
That should be our number one goal, especially in these evil days.
So may God shine His light even more brightly upon you. And we'll be back next Tuesday,
God willing, of course,
to teach on the seventh and last extremely joyous appointment called the Feast of Tabernacles.
And hey, Sheila, let's let them in on a little secret known to only a small remnant.
Yes, I agree, John. Let me tell you, there is no doubt in our minds that Yeshua was born on the first day of Tabernacles,
which, by the way, is next Monday, October 1st.
Just in case you might like to celebrate, or better yet, have a Sukkot feast. But we'll expound more on that next week, so you yourself can examine that evidence.
Amen.
So don't touch that dial.
Or your mouse.
Because here comes that shofar sound.
Lashana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I want to say again, Katavenu B'Sefer Chaim.
Yes.
May you be written in the Book of Life. And you know what? If you've made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the Book of Life. And every year is a good year when you know where you're going. So happy new year to you. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW, should say Biblical New Year, Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, and I'm just your co-host. We're with our Bible teacher today, Sheila Crawford. What we're going to ask you to do is to get a pen and a piece of paper and your Bible and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour with us here, learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity again to be on the air and to teach your Word, and we just please bless all our listeners today with understanding from your Spirit. And we thank you and we bless you and all the people that have called and requested healings and help. And we just lift them up to you. They send in emails to us. They send it through regular mail. But we just lift up those people to you. Bless them, Lord. Give them confidence. Give them hope, Lord. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. And shalom to all of you out there. Gosh, I'm so blessed to be saved and to be living at a time like this.
And yes, such a time like this.
At such a time like this.
Oof.
And we today are in the third week of a four-part series on the fall feasts. First, we talked about the anniversary of the creation of the world, which of course includes man.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosh Hashanah is Adam's birthday. I have to ask you, John, I ask you this every year. Will you be making any resolutions this time?
Yes, I will. The same as I did last year. I'm going to work on my relationships, and I'm going to work on my relationships between me and my family and between me and the Lord.
That's right. Every year.
And believe me, my work's cut out for me.
Well, we always want to get closer to Jesus.
Yes, we do.
That's our main goal.
Mm-hmm.
And to review just a little, last week we talked about the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, also called the Days of Awe, or High Holy Days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a picture, or what we call a type, of the tribulation period, when repentance will be of the utmost importance to those who are left behind. And for those who do not make Jesus Lord of their life, and of course they're not in the Book of Life, they're going to be left behind, John.
That's right.
You know, and so repentance is going to be very, very important. And that's why I stress to people when I talk to them about if someone doesn't want to receive Jesus now as their Lord and Savior, for
whatever
knows,
reason.
Whatever reason.
Because you're
least,
a crazy Christian.
Yeah, really.
Usually.
At least be encouraged, because if you tell them exactly what's going to happen, they could be a tribulation saint.
They sure will, especially when all that stuff that we talk about in the prophecy gets mm-hmm. fulfilled right before their very eyes.
I know, when they see it. And that's why we can't keep the rapture a secret.
No.
You know? They've got to be able, because that's going to be the catalyst. That's going to bring people to their knees. They're going to say, wow, she was right or he was right.
Mm-hmm.
And get on their knees immediately and ask God to come into their hearts. But another name for Yom Kippur, as I said, is the Day of Atonement. It's a very important day on the Jewish calendar, and it actually closes the season of Teshuvah that we've been discussing over the last few weeks quite in detail.
In detail. And just a reminder, you can listen anytime later to any of this four-part series, and it's all archived on our website, shofarministries.org, as well as all the newsletters, which are chock full of good information like this. But you can follow along in our study, back up to the first week and follow along and get caught up for the last
week. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right on the internet.
And it's free.
It's free.
How about that?
Yeah, it is free.
All right. Now, every year, mm-hmm. Yom Kippur is the day on which God, according to the Jewish tradition, assesses the deeds of each person and decides their fate for the coming year. Okay, now this is, of course, before Jesus.
Right.
And the probable day, I believe, of his bodily return, Jesus, that is, to earth, at the end of the tribulation period. And, of course, we read that in Revelation 19 and Matthew 24, when all will see him as he is,
mm-hmm.
actually face to face. And we'll discuss that idiom and others in a bit here. But Yom Kippur is the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man, and he will fulfill when he returns at the second coming.
Wow.
And I give a lot of reasons for that, and that's what the show is going to be about today.
Okay, I'm excited to get into it. So, Sheila, what you're saying there is Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year because the Jews believed their name would not be inscribed in the Book of Life if they had not repented of their sins, as well as any unforgiveness that was in their heart, by the close of this day at sundown. Okay,
that,
and they're very serious, right?
Oh, yes, so, very, very,
very
serious. In fact,
this.
If they have unforgiveness in their heart, or they know somebody that didn't forgive.
They may have offended or something. They will ask you. They will come and ask you if you
That's
work
right.
with them or at work.
And sometimes traveling very far mm-hmm. to find that person.
Yes.
It was very, very important.
It is. And it should be just as important to us as well.
Well, it is, and especially as the church, because it's a typology, it's
yes,
a picture.
It is. Mm-hmm.
You know, those days during the tribulation are going to be just very similar to those days of awe. The days are very awesome, Joel calls it.
Yes.
Calls it so. But Yom Kippur is also called Nila,
mm-hmm.
and that's Hebrew, for the closing of the gates. Now, remember, these gates are opened on Rosh Hashanah. John, don't be making me laugh.
Try not to.
But anyway, the gates are open on Rosh Hashanah, and according to Isaiah 26, it says, open the gates so that the righteous may enter. However, the gates are closed on Nila or on Yom Kippur. And that's very important, because when he comes back on a Yom Kippur, which I believe he will,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be too late. So people during the tribulation have to receive him prior to his return.
That's
mm-hmm. right.
And, So there will be millions and millions and millions. But you don't have to wait. You can do it now, right?
And you should if you want to be part of the bride. That's really the best. But remember, and this is so important, and we're going to say it all the time, God did organize these detailed requirements for his first chosen Jewish people with definite customs, and he used particular phrases that Jesus, who was also Jewish, hello, would use when he came to give us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us. And Paul confirms this in the New Testament. Do you know where that is, John?
Yes, it's right there in Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the things written before is for our learning today.
That's correct. And he goes on to say that it's the Old Testament scriptures give us hope. But, you know, I looked up that word hope, John, and it's the Greek word is elpis, and it's number 1680, but it actually means confidence. Or confident expectation. So in other words, it's not just hoping like wondering, like we think of hope today.
Well, that's what we do think, don't we?
I know, but it's not the way in
this
country.
I hope I get there on time.
Yeah.
No.
Not knowing for sure.
Not knowing for sure, but this speaks more of knowing for sure.
Elpis means having the confidence because of what has happened before, and we can learn it to know.
So that's what it means when we say, he is our hope. He is our confidence.
He's our confidence.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
or the blessed hope. It's not a hope. It's a confidence.
Yes.
So keep that in mind, people. And when you read your Bible and you come across the word hope, and I checked it in the New Testament, there's only one. And it's always elpis, and it's always confidence.
Cool.
Okay, so if you don't learn anything else today in the show, you've learned that.
Hope in the New Testament is confidence.
That's confidence.
That's right. So be confident. And we will be opening the lines later in this hour for your questions on this topic and the end times. The phone number is 888-877-WORD. How about that?
You're
well,
right.
By the way, Sheila, let's remind our listeners why we're here. We meet for Shofar Assembly. This is our little group here. On the first Friday of every month,
that's right.
We'll be at Chester Christian Center at 11815 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland. That's Chillicothe Road is Route 306. And if you need it, I'll let them tell you how. If you need directions, tell them what to do. What do we do?
They can call me.
Okay.
They can call my office, actually.
Yeah.
Area code 440-834-9006. That's 834-9006. Call, and I'll call you back if I'm not there. And
that's great. And
leave
that's your
a message,
home.
Or you can email me at...
Sure. At Sheila at shofarministries.org. Or maybe you'd like to ask a question through the regular mail. You know, as long as you're sending an envelope, why not stick a little offering in there.
Oh, that would be so nice. What a great suggestion, John.
and God will bless you for us. The radio time does eat up a lot of money, and we don't get to keep it. The radio station does. But just mail that offering to P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021.
Why, we have a few minutes. Why don't you go ahead and read from the Torah scriptures?
Okay.
On Yom Kippur for us, I picked out a few scriptures, John. Would you read those?
Sure. Leviticus 23, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts, or moed, or appointment, of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, meaning mikra, gatherings or rehearsals, these are my feasts.
Whose feasts?
Well, according to this, these are God's feasts.
That's right. God's feast. I don't see Jewish feast in there, do you?
No, but I do see God's feast. And,
and
he's saying you better be there to the, you know, to us too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're grafted in.
We're grafted in. We better pay attention. You want me to continue?
Yeah.
Sure. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls, that means fast, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
That's right. Cover their sins.
Mm-hmm. And verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Okay? Okay, so here it is, coming up again, another year.
That's right. And you know what? Actually, I don't know if you've ever, I know that we have, but if you're out there listening, if you've ever did a 24-hour fast, it's really not that difficult because from sundown to sundown means you're able to have a nice dinner before the sun goes down, and then the next day you're able to have a dinner again after the sun sets.
Okay, that's right. And because that's because of the biblical day. Mm-hmm. And the pattern is back in Genesis, mm-hmm. and the Jewish day, if you want to say, begins at sundown.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think it's...
It's still a hard fast.
Well, it's the hardest.
Yeah, it is.
The last 2 hours, mm-hmm. I always have trouble to do. But anyway, it's a nice thing to do if you can, and if you do, do it just for God. Don't do it for anything in
That's
particular.
Right. And do it for whatever is God's put on your heart, maybe for your family, your children. Your city, your job, anything, you need to fast because we need to see more people coming into the kingdom.
Amen.
We don't want to see anyone, excuse me, I got it too. We don't want to see anybody going through the tribulation here, but
yeah,
we know that's...
It would be awful. Okay, I'm just going to run through these real quick, and then when we come back from the break, we're going to take them out and talk about them. Okay.
These are
common idioms.
Common idioms for the term Yom Kippur.
Right. It's called the fast for obvious reasons we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Day of Atonement for the same reasons we talked about a minute ago. Also, Nila. It's called Day of Judgment and Day of Redemption. Called Face to Face. And is there another one? Yes, the Great Shofar.
Oh.
So we're going to cover all those when we come back. And I hope that you will join us.
I hope so, too.
We're going to have a song, too.
We're going to have a song. I want to tell you that Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all donations are tax-deductible and are extremely important, as you might guess, and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on our website or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. Now, any and all donations will put you automatically on the monthly newsletter, and it's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And while you're there, check out the webpage. All the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived.
Okay, what song are we going to hear?
Well, we're going to hear from Los Lobos,
right.
A song called Someday, and that'll bring us back into the second half.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll see you again. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song, Someday, by Los Lobos. And someday we will be heading back to heaven.
Yeah.
We will. And
heading back?
Heading back. I think.
Have you been there already, John?
Yes, I have. We'll be heading up to heaven. Or back. I want to remind you that the phone lines are now open, and you can really help me out by calling. make sure it's a question concerning the end times, and the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 9673. And that's free.
Okay, we're going to talk about those idioms for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is, of course, the Day of Atonement.
And an idiom is a figure of speech, right?
It is a phrase that helps you see. It's sort of like if you were to say, Turkey Day is coming, which it is.
Mm-hmm. I know what you were talking about.
You know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, that person's, I just seen her hanging mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a phrase that makes you know what season it is.
Right.
Well, that's the way they had it, too. And Yom Kippur had quite a few. Of course, as we said before the break, the one name is called the fast. It was the only consecrated fast in the Torah that God commanded his people to do on a Yom Kippur.
That's right.
So if you were reading a scripture, as for instance in Joel 2:15-17 or Isaiah 26:20-21, and if we have time on this show, we'll go to it. But it talks about, one of those scriptures talks about a fast. So when you're reading that, you would know, oh, the season must be Yom Kippur.
That's right.
And that's how we know these things. Or, for instance, if you're reading and it says, in the sixth month, well, immediately you know that's Teshuvah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are the kind of things, John, if you know a little bit of Hebraic roots, and it doesn't mean a lot of Hebraic roots.
That's right. It doesn't. You don't have
just
to
a little.
You don't have to know Hebrew or anything, really. You can just look at the words. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to say them or pronounce
mm-hmm.
them.
And that's what we do. We try to teach Christians
mm-hmm.
their Hebrew roots, these idioms, these phrases, terms used during the first century especially, to know what season they were in, to know what they were doing, what they were preparing for, how they were getting ready for certain things.
If you read a story, and it started out with, I was hanging mistletoe, and I had my swimming trunks on, you might think, now wait a minute, there's something going on here. And that, you know, little flags should go up when you, like you said, when you read that verse in the Bible and you see it's specifically reminding you with a phrase, an idiom like that, little flags should go up. And this is the key to understanding, you know,
it really is.
Our Hebrew roots. This is one of the keys, I should say, but it's a big one.
Well, and not only that, you see, Jesus had his closer friends when he was on earth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he wants his bride to be, his closer friends, so that he can use these clues, so to speak, and we'll understand them because we study who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was Jewish.
That's right.
So why not understand what he was doing, when he was doing it, what he was saying, why he was saying it, and then it'll help us understand when he's returning, how he's going to do it, why, and certain days and all that. And that's what being a close friend knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's only a remnant today of the church, only a remnant that know the deeper truths of God or even want to know them. Many do not even care to know.
Well, but you know what, though? It's still a choice.
It is.
You can choose to become closer to God.
That's right. And
you
he's
can.
Fine with that. Yeah. He's not going to say, well, no, you're
oh,
not one.
Right, right. You can choose. You can choose to be saved.
Right. And how do you really show him that you choose? Not just by prayer. You have to dig into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And study. And then the Holy Spirit starts revealing things to you. And he puts good teachers and mentors in front of you to help you learn certain things.
That's
to
right.
To help you feel closer.
Because the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it's called the fast, and we talked about it because it's a 24-hour fast. They were not even allowed to drink water. Now, I
mm-hmm.
find that very difficult. When
mm-hmm.
I fasted, I only did the food. But
and it can be dangerous today.
Yeah,
if you're
really.
Yeah, on medication or something like that.
You know,
you may not want to do that.
Be sensible. And it's something, again, you don't have to do because we have all seven feasts spiritually fulfilled in our hearts. So that's pretty neat, huh?
That is neat.
That's right. Okay, and the other thing is called the Day of Atonement. You know what's interesting? That in Exodus 32, I think it was around verse 30, Moses even said, after they did the thing with the golden calf, he goes, now I'm going to go back to God and I'm going to go make atonement for you.
Hmm.
And I think it's interesting that we did some research and found out that when he came back, that it was on a day of atonement or Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. After 40 days, which
That's
happens
right.
to be the entire period of repentance when you count
right.
the month of Elul and the 10 days of Av.
That's right. Teshuvah.
Yeah.
What I think is really interesting, though, is because we see typology all through the Bible. And if Moses returned to his people on a Yom Kippur, I think it makes total sense to me that Jesus would return to his people, his tribulation saints and his 144,000 back to earth on a Yom Kippur to make that final atonement for him. Don't you think?
It sounds perfectly logical to me. And also because Moses said to look for a prophet that would be likened to him.
That's right.
That would be in the last days. And he was referring, of course, to Yeshua.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Okay, also another name for Yom Kippur is Nilah, because that's when, Yoveh. Okay, I'm being
You say
sorry.
That like it's almost Hava Nagila, but it's total opposite.
Oh,
isn't
okay.
It?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's no.
You're the expert on the
No, I'm
thing.
Not. It's just the way you say it. It's cute.
Like, all right. Anyway, it's closing the gates.
Okay.
Because if they hadn't repented by Yom Kippur, the end of Yom Kippur, those gates were closed.
That's right.
And their names would be taken out of the Book of Life.
And that's serious.
That's right.
That's very serious.
That's right. And again, a picture is when he returns on Yom Kippur, those that haven't repented, their names are not going to be in the Book of Life. So there's that typology there.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you're not taking advantage of typology in the Old Testament, oh my gosh, you're missing so much depth. Every single story in the Old Testament, I believe, and some in the New, you know, is a type of what's going to happen in the future.
That's right.
You can see it in every single story. If you're looking for it.
If you're looking for it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ultimate thing that's there is our Lord, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is at the center.
Oh, he's in there every story.
In every story. Yeah. And Paul...
In the volume of the book is written of Jesus.
That's right. You might as well say it like that.
Yeah.
Paul taught Jesus, or the Messiah, Yeshua. He taught from Moses, the books of the prophets, and the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
That's and the other writings, Proverbs, whatever. That's what he taught from.
That's right. Amen. Another name for Yom Kippur is Day of Judgment. And, of course, when he returns, he's going to judge the sheep and the goats.
That's right.
So it'll be a judgment day for the goats, for sure.
You find that out in what, Matthew 24?
Yes.
Right?
25.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also called the Day of Redemption, similar to the Day of Atonement, or especially the sheep that get to go into the millennial kingdom.
Well,
and this is one of my favorites, though, and we've already touched on it a little bit, and that's called face to face. That was a very standard phrase for Yom Kippur. And, of course, Scripture first uses this idiom in Exodus 33:11, and basically what it means is in person.
Okay, it's idiomatic, so it doesn't actually mean you're going to be a nose apart.
Right, or eye to eye.
Eye to eye. No,
right.
It's an idiom, and it means in person.
That's right. And Scripture says that Moses saw God face to face, even though it was God's back, but he talked person to person with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idiom face to face is definitely for Yom Kippur, because it was the only day that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called seeing him face to face, even though there was smoke all around.
From the incense. Yeah, the incense went in first, and then he got in there somehow. We haven't figured out how the high priest actually got through that curtain. He had to probably lift it up and go underneath, but...
I don't know.
Okay, I'm talking about the veil in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there wasn't a door, so, you know, everybody goes, how did he get in?
He threw me because I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Moses, as we said before, actually returned on the Yom Kippur, so...
This is a huge picture.
Oh, you mean the one about the high priest going in the Holy of Holies?
Yeah, that's a huge picture. And Moses, it's just all so, you know, once you start looking for these pictures, you'll see a lot of them.
Yes.
You know, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to more of them. And you'll read a verse that you've read all your life and think, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will enlighten that and just show you that's a picture of something. And you go, my gosh, I never saw that before.
That's right, because the Holy Spirit is our real teacher.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why he said it's prudent for me to leave, Jesus said, because if I stay, I can't send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
He did say that.
And there's another reason, again, that we should understand the appointments, the seven appointments of our Lord given to his people, which is our Jewish roots, with their certain phrases. And again, I'm going to say it over. Paul said... Well, first of all, he said, remember that the things written in the past is for our learning today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, okay, this is his verse, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe he is giving us a great clue, as he often has, by the way, that Jesus' second coming to earth will be on a Yom Kippur as well, because he's saying, okay, now we kind of see things, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but we don't have it all. We don't have all the answers, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when he returns, we'll see him face to face. And I'm telling you, I believe
he's giving us a huge clue there. I think so, too.
And not only that, it really does fit into the timeline.
Right.
Okay? And I'll just go over that real quick, what that timeline is. Okay?
Go ahead.
First of all, we have Rosh Hashanah, and that, I believe, is probably going to be fulfilled with the rapture of the church.
Okay.
Okay? And then a lot of turmoil is going to happen there in that first period of time. And 10 days later is when Yom Kippur is. Now, Yom Kippur, I believe, is the day that the tribulation will begin. So during that first 10 days, a lot of turmoil will be happening. They'll try to get answers to where all these Christians went and all that kind of stuff and get the wrong answer, of course.
It'll be
chaotic. I think a lot of people will be leaving the United States, especially the Jews, to get over to Israel, because I think something's going to happen to the United States quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But then on Yom Kippur, I think, is when they actually sit down and sign this peace agreement. And that is the tick-tock.
That starts the clock
That's
running.
Right.
Yes. You mean the clock for the tribulation, the 7 years?
I do. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to Jewish time, 360-day, 7 years.
Okay.
Okay? So then, after 7 years, if it begins on a Yom Kippur, it would have to end on a Yom Kippur. For that reason that I just said, it goes back to the biblical calendar and the lunar.
Lunar calendar, yes.
So when he comes back in Revelation 19, I believe it'll be in a Yom Kippur. He will throw the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, as Revelation 19 says. Then he will separate the sheep from the goats and have that judgment. And then he will usher in the Feast of Tabernacles, which is only 5 days later, on his birthday.
And, of course,
I believe that's
and you believe that's his
and that's how that'll be fulfilled also. So, again, there's three feasts that have not been fulfilled.
Yeah, right.
The first four have with his first coming.
Ending, starting with the Passover and ending with Pentecost.
And then we have the church age. Church age has to leave. It'll go back to Jewish time again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last three feasts will be fulfilled. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur at his return. And then Tabernacles, which has a double fulfillment, his birth, and also the millennial kingdom here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we'll have our wedding reception.
Amen. And Rosh Hashanah has traditionally, also these years, has meant we're to dwell with God. And we're to remind that someday God's going to live among us and be with us.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
It's a reminder of that. And it's not just, it's for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
The Feast of Tabernacles is for the whole world to be
That's right.
gathered.
The season of joy.
The season of joy.
Happy.
We're commanded to be happy.
That's right. And actually, you know, when Paul gave that 1 Corinthians 13:12 scripture, he was actually quoting from the Midrash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Midrash is a story-like interpretation of the Old Testament. In other words, a way to keep it, you know, simple. But that was actually written, the Midrash was written 200 years earlier than Paul quoting this. So it already was a standard phrase, face-to-face.
Okay, so like Paul didn't make this, obviously didn't make this up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So he used it too. He chose to use it. The other word that he used is, of course, the last trumpet, which we have also talked about and we'll be talking about again very soon, because that's an idiom for Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. And it gets confused. It's one of the unfortunate ones where some people get confused with the last trumpet being confused.
Seventh trumpet.
The seventh trumpet. And they're not the same, folks. And we have a program on that, too. You can go back in the archives. And
that's right.
Listen, but that is definitely a big picture.
That's right. The seventh trumpet is not the last trumpet.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Again, Romans 15, things written in the past are for our learning today. We must understand that.
Mm-hmm. We need to start in the beginning, actually. And I really do believe that if you go through your Old Testament, as we call it, at least once a year, these things will start.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of
good
reading plans.
The more you get into the Word, the more the Holy Spirit works and teaches you. You know, but if you're only going to read it sparingly, you're not going to learn that much. So it's all up to you again. It's your choice.
It's your choice.
You know?
It always boils down to that, doesn't it?
It does. It really mm-hmm. does. Our whole life is choices every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other idiom is one that I really love, and it's called the Great Shofar. Now, it's only blown on Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
and really more so on the, in the Jubilee year. Okay, so I don't know really when that Jubilee is.
I don't think anyone really knows for
yeah.
sure.
But I know it'll be one when he comes back.
It surely it has to be.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought since there's three idioms for shofars that I would review that real quick also.
Yeah, because we don't want to get you any more confused if you first, right. This is new to you, right, listeners?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a new listener, huh?
We may.
And anyway, we have the first shofar.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think that's an idiom for?
The first shofar, well, that's got to be the giving of the law.
You're right.
Oh.
And it's a good thing you're right, because Exodus 19 is the very first time a shofar was ever blown by
yes.
God himself
mm-hmm.
when he gave the Torah, and that's why it got the idiom, the first shofar.
And the ones that stood there underneath the mountain and heard it, I'm sure their knees were knocking because it was an awesome pitch and loudness and... Woo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, another idiom for a shofar is, of course, the last shofar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the last trump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always associated with Rosh Hashanah because many trumpets are blown on Rosh Hashanah,
mm-hmm.
like 100 of them,
mm-hmm.
besides there one every day during Teshuvah.
One for each day, right?
That's right. So when we get to Rosh Hashanah, it's called the last shofar, which... It's an idiom for Rosh Hashanah. So when Paul said in Corinthians 15:51, at the sound of the last shofar, once again,
mm-hmm.
he was given a clue, mm-hmm. a huge hint.
Well, in that verse, he actually says he says, I'm going to show you a mystery.
A mystery,
yes.
right.
And then he says the last shofar. The only difference between that and what he said in Thessalonians was the last shofar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the hint. That you got to understand, he wrote Thessalonians. Before Corinthians.
Well, in Thessalonians, he said just the trump of God.
And just the trump of God. But he didn't say which trump.
That's correct.
Yes.
Then he did. So, again, another clue.
Yep.
So, and then, of course, this one, the great shofar, is blown on Yom Kippur. And in Matthew 24, I think it's around verse 30, he talks about how he'll come back at the sound of the shofar that is great.
Mm-hmm.
The great shofar. So that gives you a clue that it's Yom Kippur.
That is. That's cool. You know, just to study the shofar in the Bible is great. And, you know, with the story of Jericho and Joshua and the high priests going and blowing the shofar and circling the walls of the city of Jericho
right.
seven times, that is a huge picture of something.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go back and read these stories and you think, wait a minute, this shofar has some significance here and all this has, you know, it'll all, piece by piece, this picture will come to you.
Amen. Amen to that. And now I want to just, before we have to close, I mean, time's running by, could you just read Leviticus 16:21? Let's touch on that real quick before
okay.
we leave.
It says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat, in Hebrew that's Azazel, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man.
That is so significant because when I was reading the writings of Enoch, and I don't recommend that unless you're studying prophecy for 25 years, okay?
Yes,
but
seriously.
I think it's interesting that he said that there was 200 fallen angels, which I didn't know how many there were. But he said they all had names, but there was particular seven that were the leaders of these fallen angels. And the one that was the leader of the seven, his name was Azazel. So for this to be in Leviticus 16:21, when the actual name Azazel is there in Hebrew for scapegoat,
mm-hmm.
and to have the people put the sins on this goat and throw him into the wilderness as a picture of the father of lies. You
it
know.
Sure is. And, you know, what's even wild about that is that Book of Enoch was written before the flood, if I'm not
Absolutely. In fact, he gave his writings to Noah to take on the boat.
So that's pretty cool.
It's been a while. And we even talked about that in one of our shows. So, again, go to my webpage, look up the archives. There's a wealth of information there.
Yeah, there
Please
is.
Take advantage of it. It's put up there for you for free.
Yeah, and there's also the newsletters. And it's easy to navigate the page. Our web designer did a wonderful job.
I think so.
Lou Buckles, thank you very much.
That's right.
Yeah.
And again, according to the Mishnah written 200 A.D., commentary on the Torah, as we already said, talked about this red sash that they tied to Azazel when they led him out to the wilderness. When the sash was then placed on a nearby rock, like the rock thing, but after the goat was pushed over the cliff, this red sash would turn white, showing that their sins were covered. They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. They were so happy because their sins were covered. And the Mishnah also states now, and here's the great part, that around 40 years or so before the destruction of the temple, which would have been around 30, the sash stopped turning white. Why, John?
Why? Because the atonement was going to be made in a different way.
That's right. It already had made.
It already
been made.
It had been made in a different way. Because you subtract you come to 30, right? Around 30.
Around 30. It was around 32 when
the temple was destroyed in 70, and
And they go, well, why isn't the red sash turning white anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course we know why, because they didn't need that goat.
They didn't need
Jesus
the goat.
Jesus did it.
Okay, that is so cool.
That is cool.
And it's written in history too.
That's right. It is, and Josephus talks about it too.
Wow.
Okay. So, also suggested reading, because we're going to have to close, is Joel 2, 15 through 17. If you can read that. We might have time to discuss it next week. I'm not sure. But it talks a lot about how the bride's going to come out on Yom Kippur. And Isaiah 26, 20 through 21, at the end of the indignation, he comes back with us. And it's some pretty good scriptures.
It is. It is. And we want to thank you for staying with us and listening. And we trust and we have confidence that you learned.
I think so.
Something. I know I do so. Every time I do this. Now, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you're just concerned you might be one of those that just has the head knowledge and not really heart conviction, call on him right now. Get on your knees if you have to, and confess that he will cover your sins. Confess that you are a sinner, first of all. And that's what confess means. It means to admit. Just admit that you are a sinner and then receive. And it's so easy to receive. His hand is open waiting for you, okay? So ask him to forgive you, and he will do it, and he will wash you white as snow, and you will be born again, and that will be fun.
It is fun.
It is fun.
I can't imagine life not knowing Jesus.
But you make that decision. We were talking about decisions, right?
That's right. And I do want to mention, too, Hosea 6:6, because he says in there, he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of me, or the knowledge of God, more than anything you can do, more than burnt offerings.
Yevrekaka Adonai veYishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai Panav veLecha veYichunecha, Yisa Adonai Panav veLecha veYisem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Till then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's Psalm 122:6.
Shalom till next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
to age, you're still the same. By the power of your name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkano Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you save the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set the captives free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age, you're still the same, by the power of your name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkano Adonai, I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
What Messiah are.